Welcome to the Tiger Cast, a podcast designed to tell the story of Warsaw schools and inform our community about the great things happening to serve our students. Hey there, Warsaw. This is Amy Lunsford, principal of Lincoln Elementary.
And I'm Kyle Carter, Chief Technology and Data Analytics Officer here for the School Corporation. And we've got a great show for you today. A couple of guests that you may know, you may not know. We've got Dr. David Hoffert, Superintendent of Warsaw Community Schools, and a famous guy here in the community. We've got Jim LeMasters, who is our Director of Facilities. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we're super excited to learn some information today about this big building project that we hear is going on. But before we dig into that, Jim, I have come to know and appreciate you as the Director of Facilities. Many people may not know what that actually means. So tell us what that title actually encompasses and tell us a little bit about your history with Warsaw Schools over time.
Okay, I'll start with my history. I started here in 1978. As a substitute teacher, came in January. 2 weeks later, we had a blizzard. So it was kind of rough because they worked for 2 weeks, got paid for 2 weeks, and we had about 3 weeks off with no pay. And you couldn't go anywhere. So that was how I started. Started in wood shop, and I also taught electronics. I'm going to list all the things that I've taught. Graphic arts, drafting, autos, small engines, energy transportation. When we moved to the new building, I did digital electronics, Cisco networking, and then at one time I also was a technology director. Then I retired, and I came back as a consultant to do the new Lincoln Elementary School and also the Washington remodel and the Edgewood remodel. And then after that, I came back under the school umbrella to be the director of facilities.
So there you have it. When you have that many lines of experience under your belt, that is how you get to be director of facilities.
I guess that's right.
Yeah.
I can tell a little story here.
Oh, I love stories, especially Jim LeMasters stories.
Jim LeMasters stories are great. First of all, I grew up with Jim and his kids. Jim's son was born the same exact day that I was. I'm an hour older than Jim. So I grew up on the hill of Winona over with the LeMasters house. And Jim was one of my favorite teachers in high school. We had a thing called Spirit at the time. And Jim was the best Spirit teacher that was out there. Point blank. Point blank. Everybody wanted to be in Jim's Spirit class. So we had a great time. Again, and I always had just an incredible respect for Jim. I got to know him a little bit more even as the tech director when I was a high school history teacher. And just the forethought and vision that Jim had. He was one of the first ones to ever talk about going one-to-one, and that's when it was controversial, you know, nationwide. There's no way that students will ever be one-to-one. And, I mean, we look at that today, and really that's a lot of Jim's vision. And then as Jim went into retirement, Jim is a person that does not retire. He is one of the hardest working people that I have ever met around the clock. You know, as we were going through that building project, the tradition is that you hire somebody from the outside, they come, they watch over the project, and then they leave. They really don't have any accountability that goes with it. Jim, as he started getting involved in our project, we just saw this light bulb come on of, wow, this is the guy that we need overseeing the details. This is the one that we need bringing the picture together. So instead of going outside and hiring somebody that's going to leave and doesn't live here in the community and doesn't have pride in the finished product, we were able to bring Jim on board. And, you know, they say one of the greatest parts of leadership is surrounding yourself by great people. And I have great people here sitting at this table here in front of me right now, three incredible people. And Jim, I was just very grateful that he jumped back on board, even though I was that little punk kid running around in his yard. He probably has more stories on me than I have on him. But again, I'm just so thankful that he is doing that. We've really changed how we do building projects here in Warsaw Community Schools, and that's really been a result as of Jim.
I love that story, and I couldn't agree more with Jim being somebody that works harder than anyone else I know and loves this community possibly more than anyone I know. So, all right, there we've got it.
I just wanted to chime in really quickly, and I don't know if Jim even remembers this or not, but I may have had a Mr. LeMasters for a course or two. And I just remember it was some communications classes and at the time and some technology aspects within it. And he may not know it, he may not realize it, but he's some of the reason why I took certain paths and do what I do. So just a huge inspiration in many, many ways and a huge impact in many roles he's played. So, gentlemen, I've heard a little bit about this high school project, and there's still members of our community that talk about the high school as the new high school. It's a few years old, but it's still referred to as the new high school. So how in the world are we to a place where we need to work on and do a construction project with the new high school?
Jim, you want me to start on this one?
Sure, go ahead.
I'll start, yeah. And then you jump in because you actually were a part of the old high school to begin with. And when Lakeview was built, it was built as a high school, and very quickly this community outgrew that building as we continued to grow. And in the early 1990s, it was a big leap for our community to go out and build the building. And when they built it, it was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we are the only thing on the south side of town. In some ways, we're still the only thing on the south side of town, but because our campus has continued to grow farther and farther. You know, for my parents' generation, and that's one of the great things about Warsaw, is so many people have lived here multiple generations. Being a fourth-generation kid, you always talk about the context that you're in. So my grandparents that again, grew up here, always talked about Lakeview being the new high school. All right, because they remembered the old high school that was downtown. For my parents' generation, the baby boom generation now, they look at that and they remember going through Lakeview. And so the high school is the new high school. And what becomes so ironic about that is the high school is now over 30 years of age. And I don't know about you, but if you have a car that's 30 years old, I don't think it's called the new car anymore. I haven't used a computer that's 30 years of age, and things just age. You know, we remember them in the context that we are. And for even me, being there less than 10 years after the opening up of the school, same thing with Kyle over here. You know, we remember some bright new things, and really, what we want to be able to give our students is that same promise and possibility. That there are upgrades that are needed. I mean, we did not need iPad chargers at the time. We didn't need the electrical output that we need now. Things just wear and tear. And Jim does a great job of explaining this, and maybe he could even jump in on this part. How many thousands of kids that we have walking through every day, and we think about how much wear and tear there is just on our home. And I think about it with my three boys, let alone all of a sudden you have a family of 2,200 living in your house every single day.
Yeah, when you think about what goes through that building, 30 years old, 2,000 kids a year, and you change classes approximately every 45 to 55 minutes. So you put all that traffic in the hallways and touching things and opening and shutting doors and all of that. It adds up to thousands and thousands and thousands of touches. So you have to remodel. And I won't quote the builder, but when the building was built, when the local builder said, it's really just a glorified pole building because we really don't have a lot of block. When we think about older schools where they were brick and mortar, there's a lot of things in this school that aren't that way. So those things like the normal drywall, you know, and the paint and the carpet that wear out that need to be replaced. What some people don't know is that we've already been remodeling. We've remodeled over 40 classrooms over the last 2 years already. So this looked like we're going to change the outside of the building. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but what it's going to look like and the rest of the things we're going to touch so that we've gone through the whole building itself and updated it.
Jim, I was a history teacher. I wasn't a math teacher. You know that. So my math might be wrong here, but I just multiplied the numbers that you just threw out there. And it means that 75 million student touches when you talk about class periods over that 30 years, if that puts it into perspective.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, huge. With 7 period days, 180 days a year, 30 years, times the number of students that we have, just looking at 2,000, that's 75,600,000.
Yeah. And then you take all the extra things that go on, all the sporting events, all the things that go on in the pack, all those things that happen. So that brings that much more traffic into the building. So yeah.
I love that analogy too, just about thinking about it in terms of our own vehicle or our own home with right. so many kids that we all see the wear and tear that takes place. And so that really helps, I think, give a better understanding to listeners, not only outside of the school district that may have kids or grandkids that come here and aren't in the building themselves, but even for myself as a principal, I'm not dealing day in and day out with a building to that magnitude. So that really helps give me perspective as well. I appreciate that.
Our properties are investments. And like any investment, you have to invest some into it to give it longevity and keep it moving.
And as you mentioned, property, because Dr. Hoffer's big on this, there's no tax increase on anything that we're doing. So we didn't have to go out and do anything to, you know, this is bonds that have come off. So we're able to continue to, with no tax increase, to do all these things.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
And that's really important in this community. We know that this is a community that loves their schools. I can't say that anybody loves taxes. I could guess that we could go around the table and nobody wants a tax increase. And so we've tried to really plan things out that we're good stewards with the money, because we have had a number of people, and I know Jim gets this question all the time, why don't you just do all those projects at once? You know, why can't you get to my section of the building this year, or my kid is really passionate about this area, why can't you guys just go out and build it? And one of the things that we always come back and say is, you know, we're on a fixed budget, just like a household budget, anybody else that is out there, and we want to make sure that we are very, very wise with those dollars that the community has entrusted us with. And that means upkeep of the buildings. That means making sure that we have the correct pieces in place at all of these areas.
Yeah, important things to keep in mind that the general person not behind the scenes knows in terms of details. So that's the whole purpose of this podcast, is to bring understanding to a bigger population of people. So we're going to move on to the next question, which is just digging a little bit deeper within the project. So now we know a little bit more of the why. Talk to us about some specific things that we might see or maybe not see, because they're taking place inside the building. So those of us that aren't in there on a day-to-day basis might not know about.
Okay. Like I mentioned, we've already looked at 40 classrooms have been remodeled. In that remodel, we have new carpet, new ceiling, new paint, and the new HVAC systems in there. So now, instead of having... Used to be the heating came out just like in a hotel, motel, blows out on the side. Now that actually comes out of the ceiling and is returned to the ceiling. The units are in each room, so that it really controls the heating much better. So the next step is to we'll redo all the science rooms, bring those all up to date where they need to be, and we can talk about input in a minute. But so science rooms will get redone. Then we're going to redo the art rooms and move the art classrooms to bring them up to date, because they were really made small and they really weren't adequate for the way we put in when they were put in. Move the special needs, and that'll be to a different part of the building that will actually serve that clientele better, nearer to exit doors, nearer to where they feel like it'd be more comfortable for them to be. So once we get that done, we'll also then make a new front entryway, which will, once and for all, you'll drive up to the building and it looks like there's the entrance. And when you go into entrance, all student services will be there. So on one side will be the counseling offices and attendance offices, and on the other side will be all the administration offices. So a parent needs to come into the building, that'll all be redone. Also, along with that, we'll redo in the health room to make it new, bring it up to date, and also have an easy drop-off pickup if parents need to drop something off or need to pick up their child. So all that's been planned in an efficient way. The problem is we have to do it while we have kids in school, so it'll take a longer period of time to do that than if we were just starting brand new.
Jim, and you mentioned some of the pieces, especially the outside entry. You know, safety and security is one of the things that's on everybody's minds and hearts right now after some of the tragedies that have happened here the last couple of years. The high school was built in a different time period where it's 54 doors that are in the high school. If you look around at the numbered doors that are there, and through this project, it will bring our high school up to the standard that really all of our elementaries and our middle schools are at, with a safe and secure entryway. Parents will not have to go inside of the student area of the building to be able to get to guidance, to be able to get to a principal's office. That will all be right there as they enter in. So again, we're really going to be limiting in the number of entrances into the school in the name of safety and security. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. And when we looked at that, because you were on the visits, it's also the convenience part, and it's a big, big building. And when people start looking for something in that building, for those of us who grew up with it, it's easy. But if you just need to talk to certain people, they're all going to be centrally located, easy access, easy to find, so it's in and out. And I think it's just going to work better, and I think it's also going to allow the teams to function better, function as teams instead of being so, they're right now they're all scattered.
Yeah. Which at one point, that was what you would do in a school. You would spread out teams and such so that there were this adult in this area and such. It's just in education, there's pendulum swinging and we adjust, adapt. And now we need all of these centrally located so we can isolate our building and keep it safe.
Yeah.
Can you touch for just a minute on an actual beginning date? And I know what you're going to say is we already began, Amy. Told you this right. Already. But what officially, like some of these bigger projects that are okay. On second end.
Right. So the official date we're telling everybody is going to be September 6th. But we've already started in the hallways. We're going to have to go through. We're going to punch through part of the building to fill in some of the courtyards. So they've already made it looked like scaffolding set up with drywall on it so that the kids continue to use the hallway while they work around that. And then there'll be some times where those will be open and closed. A lot of work will be done on second shift and on weekends to keep noise down and keep traffic out of the building. So that makes the project last longer, but it also allows us to continue to use the building. So that's the starting date. Looks like pretty much for sure it's going to be September 6th.
And then on the back end of that, everyone always wants to know, well, how long is this going to go?
Yeah.
And, no different than anybody that's built a house themselves. There's the projected date and there's the real date.
Yeah. So projected end date is about 2.5 years.
Okay.
But there's some things that are going to happen in between there, and maybe some things go quicker, as we always hope for that. The nice thing is I can divert a little bit. The way that we do things, we do design build. So if we need to do change orders, it's quicker for us to do change orders than on another system. When you do a bid build, you're pretty much stuck with what you have. And if you want to make a change, it really has to go back to the board and they have to approve it. So that delays everything. This way we can see things and we can change things as we need it. So it helps speed the process up. So we're hoping for that to happen on this project. And hopefully we can get a lot thing like next summer, it's all the science room get remodeled. So we're hoping that goes real smooth because it has to be done. So,
okay. So we can definitely look forward to some update podcasts to see how the building project is going in the course of those 2.5 years.
Right.
Amy, could I throw in one more safety and security thing? Because this has been a question that we've received from a number of people. Our contractors will not be having access to our students. When we talk about the work that's even going on during the school day, things are walled off, things are curtained off. So outside contractors will not be in the student body. Yep. and with them. And we also apologize up front. We hope that the community understands that some of the short-term pains that we'll have, because there will be parking at football games and, you know, some of those other areas there that the community members are like, but wait, that was always my parking spot that was right there and it was right next to the football field. It might be blocked off by some supplies here for a couple of weeks. We'll try to keep everybody up to date. Mr. Akers in the high school will do a good job really putting out the messaging when we have to change things like parent pickup. So we apologize up front for the inconveniences that it caused, but we know that the long-term goal is going to be so worth it.
And all of the contractors go through background checks.
Yes.
So that's a big deal for us. And nice. We check all those.
I think that's an important piece for everybody to be aware of, because safety certainly is on the forefront of all of our minds.
So we've talked a little bit about some of the impacts and timelines and how those are going to be fluid. And in a project like this in general, especially with the building being occupied being flexible, being able to pivot, that's going to be critical. So what kinds of processes have been in place, and what have we been doing as a school district to think about student impact impact on student learning here? How are we going to ensure the students are still learning while the high school becomes a construction zone?
Okay, so I'll go back to when we did Edgewood, and I give Joella a lot of credit for this, in that their scores actually went up during their construction time. And I know that Mr. Akers had a meeting the other day and told his staff they need to be flexible and fluid. Okay, so what happens is, if the staff buys into that, and I think he's done a good job of prepping them, is that on certain days we may have to adjust how we're doing to be able to teach something different on the fly. So today you may teach in the cafeteria along with somebody else. You may, in different areas you have to go. And I actually think that we're in a better position after COVID because of some of the things teachers had to do during COVID to get lessons out. So I think that that's going to really be, it's critical that everybody stays in our year of kindness, stays kind, but they stay very flexible, because there's some things that they will work at night and maybe your room isn't available, so you have to go to another room. And I think the kids will adapt probably better than some of the teachers. But again, at Edgewood, the scores actually went up during that time. And sometimes they had four classes at once going on in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. So
we can learn kids are resilient, and they're going to adapt.
Right.
It's just really critical for everyone, community, families, teachers, staff. There is a plan. We just have to be able to pivot.
Right. And we do have some really good areas that we can break off into. With the T-Rack, with the cafeteria that we have addition upstairs, that there's areas that people can go and teach in, I don't think they'll miss a beat.
Great.
So this is our last question. You guys have done a great job really giving us a bigger picture of this whole building project. But Jim, specifically when I think about director of facilities, I think about an Einstein quote that I often ponder as a leader, and it says, if I had an hour to solve a problem, I'd spend 55 minutes thinking about the problem and 5 minutes thinking about the solution, which just goes to say, you know, there's so much that we have to do on the back end of things that people don't see that ensure the process that we're going through or the solution that we're coming up with is successful. So take a minute and talk to us a little bit about that 55 minutes of thinking that you have had to do on the back end, and what sorts of planning went into this kind of project.
Well, we believe in visiting other schools, and we've done a lot of that. We've done a lot of it over the last, 7 years, looking at what we see in different schools, and we debrief a lot. We get together, those who go on visits talk about what we've seen and what we like. I'll just give you one quick example. We visited a school and we loved, they had a huge science lab. They'd have four classes go to that lab at once. It's like a mega lab. Dr. Hoffert loved it. I loved it. Most of the people on that went with us loved it. Well, the science teachers went and visited, and they didn't love it. There was no love there. So my job was to meet with them, talk to them about what they liked, and that. So we don't have to teach there. We think it would work. They didn't think it would work, and so we've came up with a solution, and they drove it, and so that's what we're going to implement. So we've put this, like the chemistry classes are all be together. They're going to be right across from each other. They can share things, but we came up with a design. So just one small thing is that when we look at something, I think that when Dr. Hoffert says that we will pay attention to whoever it is, whether it be teachers, whether it be parents, whether it be, you know, whoever comes up with it, we want to talk about it. We sit down and listen. And then if we can make it work, we make it work. And I still think the Mega Lab is awesome, but we didn't do that because the teachers are here, had good reasoning for how they wanted things set up, and that's what we did. So I think that gives us that, you know, we could have very easily said, we're going to do it and just either go somewhere else and teach or, you know, get on board with us. But I think we listened, and I think that's kind of what we do. So we've visited lots of places, and we see things that we think would work. But then if somebody else says we want to do it another way and we can buy into that, we'll do that. So I think it is that part of my job is to listen to what people have to say, come back with, you know, with a, those in leadership position, including the board, because board members go with us too, and say, look, this is what they're saying. This is what I think we should do. So it works. I mean, I think that we probably do that better than anybody.
and Jim was somebody that really brought that here to Warsaw. And that comes from all of his past relationships. The list of different positions that he's had both in the community and in our schools has garnered that trust in people. I have to tell you just very quickly about my favorite focus group was probably our student focus group. Because we thought we knew what they were going to say. And I would say that we were about 80% right. But it's funny that how different sometimes it comes out as community needs, teacher needs, administrative needs. They all have their own little take on it. And one of the biggest things, I have to laugh, that our students want more than anything else. We've all talked about a coffee house being at the high school. So I'm going to break one little secret right there, is that there probably will be a coffee house somehow included in this. But the students wanted to make sure that they could mobile order their coffees. So that way they were ready for them during the passing period. So that was an area that we definitely had not thought about as the integration. So Kyle, as the tech director, this might need their own coffee house app.
Need to get.
Yeah, can I mobile order from across town? Is that going to be feasible?
You know what? Talk to Kyle.
Okay.
Talk to Kyle.
Come up with an Uber or something. Yes.
Right? Drone delivery.
Yes. Well, I love all of this information. I think we've gotten. I've learned a lot just from listening to this interview, and I'm excited to see this unfold. And I'm more excited to see how the students and the staff benefit from everything that's going to be happening over the next 2.5 years. When we talk about this being the year of kindness, sometimes we think about those warm, fuzzy stories, but this is absolutely an example of year of kindness. The kindness and thought and leadership and just absolute professionalism that goes into planning for a huge project like this is played out well, and hopefully our listeners have gotten a taste of the passion that's behind those decisions and the time that has been well spent planning. So thanks to both of you for the hours that you have put in, and I look forward to seeing this transition take place.
Right, and true story right now, it's the first week of school at the moment, so it's going to be a couple of weeks before this episode airs, but I'm excited to see, and hopefully we'll start seeing some exterior signs of that work by the time you are listening to this. So, David, Jim, thanks for joining us. I learned a ton, and looking forward to seeing that future of what the new high school looks like over the next couple of years.
And putting my coffee order in.
Coffee is a must.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll look forward to our next episode next week.